This is the band Rogue Wave, and the last year or so has been pretty up and down for the indie rockers. Guitarist Graham LeBron's father passed away. Drummer Pat Spurgeon spent much of the time between gigs on dialysis before a kidney transplant finally came through and saved his life. Former bassist Evan Farrell was killed in a fire, an accidental fire. Frontman Zach Rogue's grandfather passed away, and weeks later his first child was born. Meanwhile, Rogue Wave earned critical acclaim for their latest album, Asleep at Heaven's Gate. This summer they'll open for Jack Johnson and Death Cab for Cutie, and tonight they'll be on Letterman. Zach Rogue and Pat Spurgeon came by our studio yesterday to talk about the yin and yang of the Rogue Wave's lives and music and to play us some songs. But first, I asked Spurgeon about his fondness for various non-traditional instruments. We were doing a little research. We saw this video it's chronicling making of Asleep at Heaven's Gate, and mm-hmm. It looks like at one point you're playing this weird rocket thing.
It looks like a toy.
What is that?
It's a Thundercat sword. It's just I go to thrift stores.
He's a collector.
Usually my girlfriend goes and she goes and buys all the great clothes and shoes, and I go right to the electronics or the kids, the toys, and I find all this stuff, and I've got a good collection of. There's actually a weird electronic trumpet that we put inside the piano in this song harmonium that makes this weird, like, kind of random noise in the sword. It's weird. I like to find anything I can possibly find that makes noise, because then if you use it correctly or incorrectly, actually, if you use it in any way, it usually can yield something.
What's the craziest thing you've ever used?
Actually, I think.
Can you field that one?
Well, I can say what I think the most innovative thing I've seen you do in the studio before. This wasn't with a toy, but we were playing this song that it actually ended up being a B-side on the record, but I wanted it to sound like I was playing a sitar, but I don't, A, know how to play the sitar, and B, I didn't have one. So
two obstacles.
Yeah, so you think you wouldn't be able to do it, but oh no, I have Pat Spurgeon in the studio. So I was playing the electric guitar, and it was fed through this really big speaker cab in the basement. Mm-hmm. This really big speaker cab, so it's loud. And Pat's like, I think I've got an idea. So I'm like, okay. And I'm just kind of, I was like, just playing some guitar lines, and he's just kind of messing around. And then I look up, and he took a banjo, and he turned it around so the speakers are so the strings of the banjo were facing the speaker, and he took this leather belt and strapped the banjo to the speaker. And so when I would strum the guitar, it would make the strings on the banjo rattle so much that it would go with my guitar lines, and it would sound like the kind of that clanging of a sitar string.
That reverberation,
yeah. It was like it's just reverberating so much that it sounded like I was playing a sitar. It was like incredible.
Jerry-rigged a sitar. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from, but the banjo was sitting there.
Well, let's get a sense of the new album. Play us a song. What do you want to play us?
I think you want to play Lake Michigan?
We're going to keep it Midwest.
All right.
We're going to play Lake Michigan.
Oh, please. I like that one.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Heaven is a situation that she wanna fight. She would even miss you if you taught her side. Now a politician leaning to the right. Maybe it's gonna touch him that she wanna go off like that. Get off of my style. People little will know. Get off of my style. Some colored yellow uniforms. Sky is burning, but at least we know we're warm. Go and run yourself a million miles, hoping that the colors are not in you. Go off like that. Get off of my style. Leave a little window. Get off of my style. You can never see yourself ringing all around it. You can never see yourself ringing all around it. You can never see yourself ringing all around it. You can never see yourself ringing all around it. You can never see yourself ringing all around it. You can never see yourself ringing all around it. But no one. No one.
again. You lay bird, you lay bird on Lake Michigan. Not another day off, get off of my stand. Leave a little window, get off of my stand. You know it won't do, get off of my stand. You can never see yourself bringing all around it. You can never see yourself bringing all around it.
That was lovely.
Thank you.
That was Lake Michigan off of the album Asleep at Heaven's Gate. I'm talking with Zach Rogue and Pat Spurgeon, two members of the band Rogue Wave. I do want to talk a little bit about what seems from the outside like a very emotional year that your band had in 2007. Lots of stuff going on, Pat. If I can ask you, you had a health scare.
I did have a health scare. And well, actually, if I may go back, leading up to that, our guitar player, he lost his father to cancer, yeah. And so that kind of kicked off some very rough times for us, and that was right when we were in the midst of a tour, so he had to be on the road while he was dealing with that. And then I had already been living on one kidney transplant, and I was transplanted back in the early 90s, and it was coming to a halt, and so the doctors caught it early enough, and they told me, I think we were in Denver, something like that. They're like, when you get back from this tour, we need to get you started on dialysis. And I did the kind where you can travel, because I knew that I could do that. And so I got myself hooked up with that, got going with the dialysis, and then we'd hit the road, and I'd just have all this dialysis equipment in the back of the van. It would take up half of the van, and then we'd have the rest of the gear in the trailer, and then I would just do that.
How did that change how you looked at making music and touring? I mean, did you have a new kind of sense of presence and urgency in wanting to get out and do what you
It was more of a. It was more of a urgency just to, like, get healthy, and because really, when it comes down to it, anyone in the world, they only have their health. You really do, and especially when you're on the road, it's hard to stay healthy. You're eating food that's not exactly the best, and especially on dialysis, having dietary restrictions, it was impossible.
Find no sodium food.
Yeah.
On the road,
not so easy.
It's impossible, yeah. But I got into a regimen of doing what I had to do. I would do it in the van or do it in the hotel or at the club or whatever, and it was working out fine. But then I got a call last minute one night when we were back from a tour, and somebody had some kid had passed away in Redding, California, and he was close to home, and they said he was a zero mismatch for me, which meant he was next to a brother or a relative. He's the absolute best.
Perfect
I could
match.
Get.
Yeah.
So they bumped me to the top of the list. So all of a sudden, it is like I'm coming home from doing karaoke and go straight to the hospital. I call everybody and called Zach, and he met up with my girlfriend and I. And in a moment's notice, I had a transplant, and it's been going strong ever since.
I kind of see it as like a two-part thing. You know, it seems like, especially as it translates to how all that translates to music, you know, and it seems like there's a part one and a part two. The part one is kind of, ever since I had known Pat, this kind of cloud of fear, you know, just feeling like, how are we going to get this guy a kidney? Because he can't just be on dialysis forever. And he was on this really long waiting list, you know, and we were always fearful that, how is this guy going to make it? I mean, and then so this amazing gift happens. He just happens to get this, I mean, someone else has lost someone. This boy died, but Pat gets this kidney. And he gets it, and he recoups, and we start working on this record. And I feel like there's this kind of duality to the record of the gloom and the foreboding that we had had ever since we knew each other. And then this excitement, this, like, I am alive. And I
Rebirth,
feel like,
yeah.
And I feel like there's that sense, I think both of those things are on the record, maybe not in the words exactly, but in a lot of the things that Pat was doing musically, a lot of the crazy, the way he was just embracing everything. I mean, there, I feel like even though there's a sense of darkness to the music to a degree, I feel like there's a real exuberance.
We should
also
mention that you had a baby, right?
Yeah, she's actually sitting.
Oh yeah, gee.
That's a big, that's a powerful life force in a very real way.
And she was born actually just a couple weeks before Pat got his kidney. So all these things were kind of coming together. And my grandfather actually, he passed away a couple weeks before my daughter was born, and seeing kind of the cycle of life, so many different kind of ins and outs of the beginning, the very beginning and the very end, and all these kind of near misses and all these things, I feel like I'm the most excited, not just because it's the current record or something, but this one I feel so excited about just because I think we did something that really explains both of those kind of pendular swings of our lives, you know, and through sound, you know, or at least we tried to.
Well, let's have you make a little more sound for us. What are you going to play for us now?
We're going to play a song. It's called Chicago Times 12.
Great.
Midwest theme.
Again, yeah. Again with the Midwest.
Okay.
Let's see. You're going to start this one?
Yeah.
That found in the sun, but now you throw it away, tossing out the baby with the bathtub. These dogs are straight, you never know how hard I try to keep my worry in line, but they're all bastards. Gone are the good old days of banging young Courtney Pine. I listen to the taunts and the shouts of the celebration wine. I never could make it work out right. The milk flows in a black line, but it don't matter, cause no one comes out to see us. No one comes out to see us. No one comes out to see us. The life pains in a rut. I've been lonely enough. I bled Los Angeles blood. I had enough of this stuff. Already know how you and your life to ruin. There's so much to shun out. You never know how hard I tried. The milk glows in the black light.
That's Rogue Wave, and we captured their in-studio performance on video. Look for it on our blog at npr.org/Bryant Park. We're also going to link to Rogue Wave's website. They're touring all over the country this summer, so you can check them out yourself in a town near you.
No one comes out to see us. My bangs in the rough.
And that's it for this hour of the Bryant Park Project. We're online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. I'm Allison Stewart. And I'm Rachel Martin. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.